Now, I want to tell you a story this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. And this is how the story of Jesus calling his first disciples. And when you go off to church school, you're going to hear this story again. But I thought it might be fun to tell it here while, before you leave, so the adults can hear it as well. Now, what is this? You know what this is? It's a fishing net, right? Because we're going to be talking about fishing. So here's the story as Matthew tells us in his gospel. He said, Jesus one day was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers there, Simon, who was also called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting their nets in the sea because they were fishermen. And Jesus called to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." So they immediately dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. So then Jesus was walking a little further along the sea and he saw two more brothers, John, the son of Zebedee, and his brother James. And they were sitting in a boat and they also had nets and they were mending them because they were fishermen too. And they were sitting in the boat with their father. And Jesus walked up to them and called to them and said, "Follow me." And they immediately dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. So Jesus, with John and James and Peter and Andrew following behind him, went throughout all of Galilee and preached in the synagogues, which is where they worshiped. And he preached all about the love of God. And he also went and healed many people of their illnesses and diseases. So that is the story from the Gospel of Matthew. And we ask that God grant us understanding of these words. And now I'd like to invite Miss Sarah to come teach you a song. Turn that on. So when we think about this story of Jesus calling his first disciples, it all seems rather sudden, doesn't it? All he does is walk by and say, "Follow me." And Peter and Andrew and James and John immediately drop their nets and walk away from everything they have to follow a man they may have just met. Now, we know they haven't just met. We see in John's gospel that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist and was there when John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. And then he ran to tell his brother Simon, who we also call Peter, that he had found the Messiah. And Luke's gospel tells us that James and John were fishing partners with Andrew and Simon Peter. So they all likely were well aware of who Jesus was when he wandered past them on the Sea of Galilee on that evening so long ago. But still, to drop everything and follow simply because they were asked, especially since they likely knew what they were getting themselves into. The part we left out of the story that we told children, the children that comes right before this verse in the Gospel of Matthew, is the part where John the Baptist gets arrested. And when Jesus hears that, we're told that he withdrew to Galilee. Now, withdrew is a polite way of saying he hightailed it out of Dodge. Andrew and Simon likely followed him there, because we know when renegade prophets are arrested, the next to be brought in for questioning are the disciples of that prophet, along with the one that prophet is pointing to and saying, "This is my successor. This is the one true Messiah." So what did these fishermen see in Jesus that caused them to just drop their nets and go all in? What did they see that made them say, there's something special happening here? There's something life-changing, something world-shaping, and I need to be a part of that. They could have easily said, I have way too many responsibilities to get involved in this. They could have said, I just don't have the time. Or they could have said, I just don't have the courage to just drop everything and go. They could have easily said, he's got Peter and Andrew, he doesn't need me. Or he's got James and John, he doesn't need me. Because this is how we rationalize our decision to hold back when we're confronted with something that is very hard to do. We tell ourselves, someone else will do it. Or, I'm not any good at that anyway, so they most certainly don't need me. Or, it's not like one person is going to make much of a difference anyway. Because it's hard for us to fathom that our one drop in the sea means anything in the grand scheme of things. Now, many of you are likely aware of the devastating wildfires that have been ravaging across Australia. And this week I heard the story of a woman named Susan Pullis, who 7 years ago began a wildlife shelter in a small town in Australia called Waterholes. She takes in kangaroos and koalas that have been orphaned or injured or have been starving because humans are encroaching on their feeding zones. And when the fires approached her property, Susan called on her friends to help out. And they showed up and packed the animals into crates and baskets and put them in their cars and their trucks. And they had a convoy that went 30 miles to the coast to bring the animals to safety. Now, there wasn't time or space to take them all, but they were able to relocate 15 kangaroos, 11 koalas, 5 chickens, 2 possums, 2 dogs, and a lorikeet, and a partridge and a pear tree. One friend even converted her entire downstairs bedroom to house 5 of the koalas. Another kept the baby kangaroos in quilt pouches that she made in her living room. Now, after the fires swept through, Susan got in her truck and drove back to Waterholes to see what might be left. She said it was like driving through Armageddon. Smoldering and fallen trees, charred earth and melted road signs stretched for hundreds of miles. And she burst into tears when she saw that the eucalyptus groves that she right outside her property were completely gone. She said, this is where I picked the leaves to feed my koalas. How am I going to feed them now? And then she realized it might not even matter if her property and her shelter were gone. But as she came to the end of that blackened road where her property began, to her amazement, she found herself driving into a lush green oasis. The house and the outbuildings and the surrounding trees were still there and untouched. It was like someone had plunked the Garden of Eden down in the middle of a charred wasteland. What Susan Pullis learned is that a friend of hers, named Jason, had not evacuated with the rest of them. He had stayed behind to protect the house and the animals left behind with a hose and a few hundred gallons of water. But just as he was beginning to feel like he was a lone drop in a sea of fire and was considering evacuating himself and saving his own life, he saw a helicopter fly overhead. And then it turned around and hovered over the house. And then another one came along and joined it. They were water bombers, and they were sent out to fight the fire in the surrounding bush. And seeing Jason with his hose in the middle of this green oasis, they made the decision to drop their water cargo right there, dousing the house and the property and saving it. Now, the wildfires in Australia have killed at least 28 people, and it's destroyed thousands of homes and over 15 million acres of land. It's devastated Australia's wildlife. Environmental scientists are estimating that over a billion animals have lost their lives, either in the fire or as a result of having their food and shelter resources destroyed. Susan may have saved only a few dozen animals, which amounts to a drop in the sea in the grand scheme of things. And what her friend Jason did, risking his own life to save a few dozen more and the buildings that house them, may seem foolhardy or dangerously irresponsible to some of us. But to hear Susan describe what is now happening on her property, as wildlife who survived the fires are finding their own way to congregate in her little oasis. She is busier than ever caring for the orphaned and the injured animals. And the trees surrounding her property are alive with the sound of calling cockatoos. While only a few miles out, there is silence. So why do fishermen drop their nets and follow prophets and messiahs? Why do ordinary people drop what they're doing to pick up animals or pick up a hose? Because there are times when we are capable of such moments of clarity. And we see the connections between us all. And we can't help but be pulled along or swept up in a desire to meet a need or enact a change that is not just for our own benefit. Not because we are particularly courageous or generous or noble, but because God invites us all to become agents of transformation. In big ways and in small ways. We are each just one drop in the vast sea of creation. But each one of us is capable of transforming our own hearts, our own lives, in such a way that we can't help but transform the space around us and inspire others to be agents of transformation as well. Now, Jesus lived and breathed what it means to be God's agent of transformation, what it means to respond to that invitation to be so. And I don't know if that sounds more or less daunting than taking on the role of disciple. But what I do know is that even though each one of us is just a drop, with just a few drops, we can make a puddle. And a puddle can feed a stream. And a stream flows into a river, and a river becomes the sea. And it all starts with Jesus saying, "Drop your nets and follow me." Thanks be to God, and amen.